You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
Never filtered. Always fun.
I'm a rope guy.
I always strip down. I wear a robe constantly.
No, I love
gear underneath.
No, I wear underwear. I'm not like you lean over. You don't need your ass
cracking. I would
go
no gear. Just like a Scotsman.
You want my body? I'm giving a text. Come on, baby, let me know.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jonas Siegel in here from the Canadian Press. It is a Maple Leaf game night. You can watch it on TSN 4. Ray Ferraro will join us here in a moment. Ray will be in the building in between the benches tonight. Curtis McElhinney getting the start for the Leafs. James Reimer for Florida. So both backups are playing tonight. It's very fitting that Reimer, who has been a part of many meltdowns in Toronto, can now be a part of a game that could spark a potential meltdown in Toronto.
He's confirmed starter?
Well, he started last night and he got pulled, but I don't think they had a game day skate today, so no one really knows, but I'm assuming Reimer's going to play tonight.
Good. It's a good thing right now.
He played well a couple of weeks ago against them. 2 weeks ago tonight, they lost 7-1, I believe
7-2.
It was, 7-2 in Florida. So they're looking for redemption tonight. Kasperi Kapanen's going to play, and no one's talking about this kid. Like, think about that. He was the main piece in the Kessel trade. He's a former first-round pick. He's 20 years old. He's played really well with the Marlies, and nobody is even talking about his debut.
Do you know why? Austin Matthews, William Nylander, Mitch Marner.
Curtis McElhinney.
Curtis McElhinney.
Let's be honest.
You
want
to talk about, this is the best thing for Kasperi Kapanen, flying under the radar to try to make an impact to be an NHL player. This is the time to do it. You know what Babs is like. If he comes up and plays well,
That's exactly what he said this morning. He said his job is to make sure that Josh Levo doesn't get back in the lineup. So he also wasn't thrilled that Josh Levo was hurt again.
You know he's going to start holding that against him.
Yes.
Oh, you damn right. I don't think he was the biggest Josh Levo fan to begin with. I think he believes he can be an NHL player. But there's just something weird, like in and out of the lineup and healthy and not in the lineup. It's just there are some coaches, injured or not injured, could be the storyline of you sticking with an organization.
Mm-hmm. Especially where you are on the depth chart.
No.
Because let's not pretend like Nikita Stashnikov is chasing Andrew Cogliano down for the Ironman streak either. That guy's hurt all the time, too. He started the year injured.
But Mike loves him.
He loves him, but the injuries at some point, I think, will lead to Babcock saying, maybe I don't love you as much as I thought you did, or I did.
Well, how quick do you think coaches make their mind up about a guy? Like, it seems like with Babcock, he pretty much knows right away if he likes you or doesn't.
I'm pretty sure he gets an idea. He knows the stuff. You can say what you want about him, but he knows the stuff, and he knows what it takes, and he knows the different elements of a team that need to have success. And if he gets the idea that you're not going to do it for him, you're not doing it for him. We've seen it in the past. We've seen it with Bernier. You've seen it with
Peter Holland. He had read that book and was done with it pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Jonas Enroth, yeah. There's been a long list of guys. Frankie Corrado had not even shown up in Toronto, and Babcock had decided, you're not playing for me.
Yeah.
But other you notice a trend
Bernier,
here?
How many guys have gone somewhere else, and you're like, oh, God, maybe that Mike Babcock guy was wrong.
Well, that's what it comes down to. These are all guys, 13th forward, 7th defenseman, backup goaltenders. That's what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he's not stupid. He's not going to look at a guy who's got. That's why Kapanen. He may not love everything about Kapanen's game, but he understands his abilities. He understands he's a really talented guy.
Nylander, same thing. Like he can see how good he is, but there are parts of Nylander that he would want to improve.
Well, absolutely. Nylander's got the pedigree of the first round pick. They always get the second chance, and obviously he deserves it. There's too much talent there to write him off and just say, no, you're going down to the minors, you're disappearing for a while, but if you don't have that leverage, you're in for it.
Well, we'll see what Kapanen brings tonight. In terms of storylines going into the game, he's so far down the list.
Well, there could be history tonight on two different fronts. Matthews could get the goal record. Marner could get the assist record, and then there's McElhinney.
Well, and Nylander is continuing to write the record book because he's got, what, 11 games in a row with a point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy that Marner, Matthews, and Nylander could have literally the three best rookie seasons in team history when this year's done.
And that's why it's just one more reason why they've got to get in now.
One, two, three.
They've got to get in now.
Yeah.
Like I was thinking about this earlier today. It's the complete opposite of the approach that you have when you've decided it's time to tank. And what I mean by that is early in the year, you can't be thinking finish 30th if you're the team. You can be thinking of it as a fan. You can say this is in our best interest. But there's an element of integrity, sportsmanship. You're not going to walk into a season in October and play your third string goalie to lose games. But once you get far enough along down the line and get to the final 10 games, if you're right there for last place, fully commit. Make sure you close the deal. Shut guys down. Play Garrett Sparks. Be awful. Lose every game. In October, it would not have been smart for them to come out and say, playoffs are bust, or we really believe we're a playoff team. Ease into the year. See where you're at. But now you've gone this far, you got to close the deal. You got to get in. You're too far along. You know? I mean, that's what's at stake. We'll see. 8 more games, including tonight. And you can watch the game on TSN 4. Florida in town taking on the Maple Leafs. Let's bring in Ray Ferraro. Ray on Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. What's the mood like down at the rink?
Oh, I think what I notice is week by week, like, people are more excited. You know, like, even like the people that are working here, the people that are around the team, they're more excited. They're like, they want to get going. They want to get, let's get to the playoffs. And then you know, just because I like to throw cold water on things, I go, well, you got to get there first. And I just like to do that anyway. And so, but when you look, you're like, man, nobody can get any breathing room. Like, there's just when you think it's over for somebody, they put two wins together and they're right back in it. And so there's like excitement and nervousness, and it's just the way the stretch is supposed to be. It's really, really so much fun at this time of the year.
It really does have a playoff feel to it tonight. It's a one-off. It's against a team that's done. Florida's done. They're out. They're not winning. They're not making the playoffs.
These are dangerous, man. How many times, Brian, do you see this? Like, Florida stunk last night. In the first 30 minutes of the game, they were just, I don't know, they were out to lunch. They didn't even play. And then they come in here, and they have a better team than that. I mean, Huberto and Barkov and Trocheck are really dangerous forwards. If Reimer plays a good game, you know, I guess what I'm saying is you can't fall asleep at the switch here. It's like you can look down the road to they got some monster games coming up, but this one is vital, really, for them. They're all as close to must wins as you can have, but man, you'd hate to fall asleep and kick away 2 points here.
Ray, I was talking about the goaltender, Freddie Anderson, earlier, and it's fair or unfair. You know the kind of player and attitude that the city likes. I mean, Wendell Clark and Darcy Tucker. There's something about them. I just want them to say, you know what, I'm only going to miss one game. And I know you can't talk about injuries, but just the old approach of, you know, I'm glad I came out. It was the right thing to do. Who knows? I don't know if it bugs me or it makes me nervous. I don't know. There's just something about them where I want them to say, I'm playing soon and I'm not missing too much of this.
I think, don't you think a little bit is just the way that we were, that it was when we played? And
yeah,
now,
like, I think of Sean Burke, where he would be like, I'm not missing one game. I don't care what the hell's wrong with me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he had a choice tonight, Anderson. I think that, you know, through the way the medical teams work now,
we didn't have
medical teams. we had a guy.
Yeah, we had a guy.
Yeah, I think he was a doctor. He had a nice suit on. And, you know, when you'd tell him you were all right and you'd play. And so I think today he basically said, I'm playing Thursday, without saying I'm playing Thursday. That's what it sounded like to me. And I think I'd be more surprised if he doesn't play than if he does, just from the fact that he was able to, be able to practice a couple of days in a row. He seemed like he was comfortable and healthy when, or I know if healthy is the word, he was comfortable and alert and positive when he finished his stint on the ice today. So I'm with you. I just think that's a little bit old school. That's probably all dissipated and it's kind of gone away. They just, you're not going to get that anymore.
Well, I really do think that would relieve a lot of the tension if he could confirm that he's playing Thursday, because I think what's scaring people is the idea of McElhinney having to start four or five games. Starting one game?
It could be worse. It could be the two kids from the AHL who you would have, you know, I mean, that's why they got him, right? They got him to be able to hold this position when he needed to be.
Right.
Where are you at with McElhinney? We got a guy on this panel.
we got a guy here
on the panel that thinks he's one of the worst in the league.
Well, evidence would back that up. But go ahead, Ray.
Well, what is he, 88% in the last four starts?
Well, there's that. There's a longer track record, but yeah.
Well, I mean, they made a decision to go get a veteran guy. They were looking at X number of starts. The guy they had before, they weren't going to put in the net ever.
Yep.
They made that pretty clear. And so they had to go get somebody. And, you know, I don't know who was available or who, you know, or at the time when they picked him up on waivers, they felt that, you know, their scouts felt that McElhinney could do a decent job for them. They're not looking for a world beater here. And we just started the segment by saying, look, they're not they're playing a team that's not in the playoffs. If he has to play four games, he's been around the NHL long enough that you have to have some faith that he can do at least an adequate job for you. And I often say that you don't need the best goalie in the league, you just can't have the worst. And I don't think this on a short term is a make or break. Don't forget there was a month of October where Freddie Anderson was the worst goalie in the league. And we don't say that anymore. And you can also make the case that had Anderson been just halfway decent, that they would have four or five more points and not be in this, you know, in this stranglehold that they're in now.
Well, but Ray, they lost a lot of those games because of Freddie Anderson. But
that's my
not...
point. If he was half decent,
yeah, they wouldn't be.
Maybe they would have picked up four or five points that would have helped them right now. But that's the season's long. I mean, they look. This is your roster. This is what you got.
Yeah.
Okay, put it this way: Curtis McElhinney is no worse than Anton Khudobin, who's won five straight games for Boston. Mm-hmm. He gave up a wrist shot from center ice against Calgary, and somehow they won the game. He gave them adequate goaltending the rest of the night, and they won. And that's what they're asking for McElhinney.
Well, but Ray, Hayes made the point earlier that, and it's a good point, like McElhinney's never played in these types of games where there's so much pressure, playoffs are on the line. Do you think that makes any kind of a difference on a guy?
Oh, I think some guys it surely would. I think it would be a bigger deal to a younger guy than to an older guy. I mean, I'm certain that he's well aware of the stage. I mean, he said that he hasn't played in games like this before. He's well aware of the importance of the game for his team, and not that a younger guy wouldn't, but I think it'd be more likely that a younger guy might feel the heat before a veteran. That's not to say that McElhinney might not come out and give up three goals on eight shots and you got to climb up the hill here. But I put it this way. I would have more confidence in him tonight than in a 21 or 22-year-old kid that's had a decent to good year in the American League and is making one of his first three or four starts. I would way prefer having the veteran guy.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the reality is you're not going to feel great about any backup in the league being in this position because they're backups. I mean, there might be some backups, and Jonas and I went over the list during one of the breaks, that you would feel more comfortable with in this position than McElhinney, but ultimately it's not ideal. And that's why, again, if you knew Freddie was playing Thursday, you'd be like, okay, I can live with McElhinney starting a game. I always presumed he was going to start in one of the final eight or nine games anyway. I thought it would be one of the back-to-backs, and I think it still very well might be one of the back-to-backs. But if you told me, again, it's one game, I'm like, they can beat Florida at home with McElhinney in net. It's when you get to four or five, six, that's what separates starters from backups. That's where the hiccups eventually find you. And there's one more element that I laid on the line in the 4 p.m. hour in terms of potentially what's hanging over him mentally, Ray, is I think in a lot of ways he knows he's playing for another contract. He's playing to stay in the league. He's a UFA at the end of the year. I think the Leafs have been very happy with what he supplied them. And if he has to start 2, 3, 4 of the final 8 games and he plays well, he'll be back in the league next year, I believe, somewhere. And it could be in Toronto. I think they may look at this and say, there's a guy we can really trust. I can bring him back as my backup. But if it goes south and they're like, we can't trust this guy in the biggest moments, then I think they'll approach him very differently.
Well, okay, a couple of things. One, about, you know, when you went through the backups, probably the best backup in the league is Ben Bishop in L.A., and he hasn't been very good since he went over there. And that's why, you know, sports are the best reality show there is, because you can sit and try and guess along and predict along and say, you know, okay, Bishop, at least he'll give L.A. good goaltending. Nobody could figure out why they went and got him anyway, but he'll give them good goaltending when Quick's not in there, and he didn't do that. So the if the starter's not in there, everybody's going to be nervous. As far as McElhaney playing for another contract, well, hell, he knew that in October. And if he's playing for, if he's thinking about next year now, he's probably not going to be mentally strong enough to play a good series of games for you. I mean, you got to. We've been on. You know, I've been on the last year of my contract. O's been on the last year of his contract. You got to throw that stuff in the back, and you just push it out of your head as much as you can, because you're well aware at the start of the year, it's the last year of your deal. You're well aware that you'd like to play again, and then you just have to play. All that other stuff, when he walks out the door of the Leafs room at 7 o'clock tonight for warm up, all that other stuff better be way back in the change room where he doesn't even think about it anymore.
Leafs Panthers tonight on TSN 4. Chatter with Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst. Some developing news out of Boston. The Bruins are playing the Preds tonight, and they just sent out a release that they have recalled Zane McIntyre on an emergency basis from Providence. Now, I don't know if that's to back up Tuukka Rask tonight, or is it because Rask has pulled the chute again? Rask skated this morning, and he told the press he was good to go, and he was supposed to be playing tonight. But it sounds like McIntyre has been recalled. Now, again, this may be like a game-time decision or something like that, but, man, Boston, they will be freaking out if Rask pulls himself from another game.
Well, if Hudobin comes out of the tunnel first, that's huge news for Boston. I guess we got to wait and see. It could be somebody sick. It could be easily as simple as that. But man, if it's Rask again, this is a couple years in a row, right down in the stretch here, that he just can't get to post time.
Nothing will top. Was it last year, the last game of the year? Nothing will ever top that.
No, he had the flu, and he couldn't make it to the starting gate, and so you end up with a backup goalie that had never played in the league before, and Jonas Gustafsson as your hope. And to top it off, Rask had been brutal in the previous 10 games. So their starter, who they pay $7 million, sprung full of holes down the stretch, and then he didn't get to start in the last game of the year. So it'll be very, very – I'm really interested about this now. I mean, that is huge news, and of course it impacts Elise a great deal.
Oh, so significantly, because if he's out, and again, we don't know, but McIntyre has been called up, so something's going on with one of the two goaltenders. Yeah. And Rask, again, does have a history. Again, today, 5-6 hours ago, he was speaking with the press. He's like, I'm good to go. I'm playing tonight. I'm ready to rock. And Cassidy came out, the head coach, and said, yeah, he looked good. He's ready. He's playing. I mean, I can't imagine what's happened.
Maybe it's sick, right? Maybe he or Hudobin is sick.
Wow,
and,
man.
You know, I mean, in any case, that's we're going to have – that'll be an interesting – I think they start at 7, so that'll be interesting to see. That's for sure who comes out of the tunnel at 6:30.
Well, it's a fascinating time of year if you're a Leaf fan, because you're watching those two games last night. The Preds hold on, and they beat the Islanders in regulation. And at the same time, you're watching what's going on in Tampa, and Chicago's up 4-1 halfway through the game.
And you're thinking,
it's over. It's done. Less than 5 minutes later, the game was tied.
That was an awesome game to watch.
It was a brilliant game. The overtime was incredible, and Tampa just won't die. Because now, which instead of just being focused on those three games they lost, they come back with three straight wins. So now you've got to look over the past 23 games, and they're 15-5-3 in their last 23 games. With no players.
The league is Drago, and the Lightning are Rocky.
That's what it feels like right now.
You must break him.
How many times did somebody get the puck, and you got to look, and you go, who is number 62? Who is number, like, this? It was like guy after guy, and you're like, who is that guy?
Well, the kid that scored the OT winner was one of those guys.
Gord.
Yeah.
Jan?
Who is he?
Yeah, Yanni.
Yanni.
Who is that guy?
He's a guy.
He's a guy. And he got a shorthanded goal earlier in the year, and this is his second goal. And when he came, you know, he jumps on the ice, I think probably your first thought is, what the hell is he doing? Oh, look at that. He's got a breakaway, which is, oh, nice goal. Yeah, I mean, like, that's what they got.
Right.
And they're fighting away and clawing away. And even the goalie, like, he gets ventilated. They take him out. They put him back in. He gives up a goal, you know, within the first 6 or 7 minutes. Now it's 4-1. And like you say, the game's done, finished, except it wasn't. That was a awesome period to watch. And, man, Drouin is such a dangerous player. But when Kucherov gets a puck, or Kucherov, I guess. He is just outstanding to watch. That's so good to watch.
I don't know who he reminds me of. Like, he is
McKinney a little bit.
Yeah. That's a really good comparison.
Except a little smaller.
He's so smooth. He's such a puck is on a string.
So smooth and not very big, but it seems like the lateral movement is it covers a lot of ground side to side and
the perfect pass every time.
Yeah.
Like McGillney, when he was in the zone, don't even try. What's the point of trying to check him? He is going to make you look stupid every time. That's a perfect comparison.
And don't you think, like, the other thing, you know, as we're talking about Tampa and no players and how great Kucherov is, and there's nobody to take any heat off him. So everybody, he gets the best defense pair. He gets the, you know, if they want to match lines, he gets their best defensive forwards in a lot of cases, and he's got 38 goals. Like, he's having an amazing year.
And his cap hit for the next 2 years, 4.7.
That is redonk. How the hell?
How did they
agree
to that?
He's a $7 million player.
Yeah, at least.
No, more.
Yeah, well, what did Goudreau get? More. Didn't he?
6.75.
Okay. There you go.
Here's the other thing, too, is that, you know, about... So Yzerman gets him on that bridge deal because that's like they had no contract room. And then at the deadline, they trade Filppula, Boyle, Bishop. And so those guys are gone. Johnson gets hurt. Paquette gets hurt. Garrison was hurt for a while. So, like, you took, like, seven guys out of their lineup. And that's when they went on this run. Like, it's really quite amazing.
If they get in, it'll be quite a story. I mean, that Braden Point's playing unbelievable. Drouin's been unbelievable. If they can get, it's almost like Stamkos wondering, and if he comes back, and he might disrupt the flow a little bit because it's such a, there's positive and negative stress in that locker room. There might be so much positive energy around it where they can't get it together.
Well, and no matter. I mean, no matter how great Stamkos is, and he is, but he's been out 4 months. It's gonna be hard. But I mean, maybe if you can, you know, say he can only play 7 or 8 or 10 minutes, and that's all he has at this point in the year. But you can get him out there 4 times on a power play. You know, maybe he only needs one shot to make his impact on the night. And one of the guys you're taking out is one of the guys we don't know their name.
Yanni.
Well, it might not be Yanni. He's hot.
That's a great point. Like, John Cooper doesn't even – they don't even have to send a press release out because it doesn't matter. No one knows who the hell the player is. It's coming out of the lineup.
Well, good for, but honestly, you know what? I love the underdog. I've always cheered for smaller markets.
Then cheer for the Maple Leafs because they're truly the underdog, right? Tampa can take a lap. They won a cup in 2004. They were in the cup final a couple of years ago.
I will never cheer for anything that you cheer for just on principle.
Well, okay, that's fine. But I'm telling you.
I'm cheering for rain tomorrow because I know you want sun.
Yes, I do. I got to start training for this stupid 10K we're going to do.
Well, you can train in the rain, too.
No, I'm like a mailman. I'm Newman.
He's made of sugar.
I don't work in the rain.
Newman, that's right. Newman did not deliver in the rain.
That's me. If it rains, no dice. I'm not going anywhere. Anyway.
Awesome. All right,
buddy.
Stuff.
Enjoy it tonight.
We'll talk to you from Nashville tomorrow.
Here's Ray Ferraro and Ray on Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. They'll get you out of your timeshare guaranteed or give you a complete refund with offices in Toronto or visit timeshareexitteam.ca. Sounds like a pretty good buzz and mood and positivity down at the rink. That's a good thing. I mean, they got to believe they can win these games, right? They're a better team than Florida. And they have bounced back very well all year. They didn't play well on Saturday night. I expect them to play well.
Don't you think it's been a great year for the rookies? Don't you think with 8 games remaining and the whole body of work is taken into consideration for the Calder, but don't you think that Austin Matthews can put a stranglehold on the Calder if he just goes nuts here in the next 8 games and he leads the way and he gets the job done and they get in?
Yes.
Don't you think that could ultimately wrap it up for him?
Winnipeg has turned into one of the most irrelevant teams in the league. No one cares about them. No one talks about them. They're mathematically eliminated. They're out. So no one's focused on Line A anymore. And he hasn't been lighting the lamp. He hasn't been crushing it. He hasn't had any
highlight. There is a lot of focus on the Toronto Maple Leafs right now.
It's all Maple Leafs right now. And you're right. Over the final eight games, he scores 4 or 5, including a game winner, or gets back to where he was earlier in the year, starts setting the tone, scoring the first goal of the game. Because that's huge tonight.
Oh,
them going down 1-0 with McElhinney in net.
Oh, and the coach for Florida is already throwing out vibes like, oh, last night was unacceptable. There's a lot of long-term contracts. I hope these guys aren't comfortable. I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Take a lap, Tom Rowe.
Yeah.
Well, do you know who leads the league in first goals this year?
Austin Matthews.
What's that?
But Austin Matthews leads the league in first goals this year.
It seems like he hasn't had one in a while.
No, he hasn't. Well, no.
He had the second one on Saturday.
In Buffalo.
Anyway. All right. We'll catch up with Emmett Golden from ESPN Cleveland because the Cavs are falling apart. But does it really make a difference? And he's probably an expert on LeBron. How would he rank that flop last night on the Richter scale? We'll see. We'll get back into the Raptors winning last night, get into our poll question surrounding what Buster Olney had to say about Aaron Sanchez on Naylor and Landsberg in the morning. Get to that later in the afternoon. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. Listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Maple Leaf lineup player of the day. On Friday, call with the names of all 5 players, and you can win a pair of lower bowl seats to see the Maple Leafs take on the Penguins April 8th at the ACC. The theme this week is former Leafs who have had their record broken by Maple Leaf rookies this season. Today's player of the day is Ian Turnbull. Ian Turnbull. Austin Matthews broke his rookie record for most shots in a season. Nice. There you go. Ian Turnbull. I don't think we've had him before.
On the contest?
Yeah. Not that I'm aware of.
That's actually one of the more impressive records that he's set. Like, guy, you know this better than anyone. I've heard players say, like, it's really hard to get that many shots. He's 8th in the league in shots.
What's his total?
250.
It's a lot. If you go to my stats.
Let's find them.
Watch. And look how they go from the beginning of my career till when I started. Like it's almost double or triple.
Well, but that's the thing. How much more can he really generate as he gets older? Well, like in 5 years, he's not going to have 500 shots in a season.
I know that, but...
Jeff went 242 shots, 272, 316.
And how many goals? 316.
30.
How many shots when I scored 41?
242.
Really?
It's a pretty good shooting percentage.
Pretty efficient. You were 28th in Hart Trophy voting. That's not bad.
What are you talking about?
You were top 30? How is that possible? How many votes? So I guess you got, what, like a top 10 vote?
Let's find out.
Someone must have hooked you up.
That is not even, I don't even.
Someone in Carolina. A local beat writer hooked you up.
Mm-hmm.
With a Hart Trophy vote?
Yep.
Well, I'm not sure how it works. Do you vote, like, do you put 1
I think you do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, so you must have got like a fifth place vote. Look into that. Maybe you missed out on a bonus.
I missed out on the heart.
You were in contention for the heart.
I got screwed out of the heart.
Who won it that year?
I don't know.
What year was that?
Looks like it was Sakic.
Hmm.
I deserved it.
Probably the right guy.
He had 118 points.
Probably deserved the nod that year.
Yeah. Anyway. I had 61 with 29 assists.
Do you guys see Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, came out today and said
there's going to be a female coach sooner or later?
Sooner rather than later. And he said he believes it's his responsibility.
To make it happen?
To make that happen.
I'm not getting into it.
But why is that his responsibility?
I don't know how he could make it his responsibility.
I think it's completely overstepping his boundaries. Well, it's on the GM of the team and then the owner of the team. But why would the commissioner factor into who's being hired?
It's on somebody that's qualified and the best person for the job, male or female. If that's a female, go ahead. But it's not on Adam Silver's clock.
Exactly.
Or watch or timeline to make that happen.
Like, I got to be honest, this feels like a hero comment from him. Like,
everything
I'm going to be the commissioner
that breaks through.
I've been
impressed with everything else he's done. But this comment here, this approach, it seems forced. And it doesn't seem quite necessary.
I think it's self-serving.
I don't think females across North America are going to be outraged if there's not a female coach in the NBA within 5 years. And you know what? If there's one that's qualified and the best person for the job, go ahead. That's great.
Go for it. But the GM of that team or the owner of that team will make that decision.
No kidding.
The commissioner, why is he involved in anything like this? Like, it's one thing to make it more comfortable throughout the league or let your league be more educated in this area and understand that this is a possibility down the road. But this is not a priority for him. This just sounds like a very self-serving quote to me. I'm going to be the first commissioner to make this happen. Okay. But you shouldn't have anything to do with who gets hired.
I don't know if there's enough. Are there enough candidates? Like Becky Harmon, I think, is on the bench in San Antonio.
She is. And I could see her being a head coach at some point. But it's not Adam Silver's decision. Anyway, let's bring in Emmett Golden from ESPN Cleveland. Emmett, what's your take on that, what Silver had to say about him kind of feeling responsible for making a woman a head coach in the NBA sooner rather than later?
So I think it's just, you know, a guy trying to take credit, you know, for something that he doesn't control. I agree with what you guys are saying. Listen, when it happens, and I do say when because I believe it will, it won't have anything to do with Adam Silver. It'll have everything to do with that woman's, you know, commitment, drive, and basketball knowledge, and she'll deserve it. And, you know, it won't be because Adam Silver got her the job.
All right, let's get into what happened last night. I've been labeled a LeBron James apologist many times on this show. I believe he gets criticized unfairly all the time. I don't think we've ever seen a superstar player in any league have a target on his back the way LeBron does. I think it's outrageous. But there are times where I don't think he helps himself. Last night, I thought that flop was a flop. I thought it was outrageous the way that he reacted last night. What did you make of what went down last night in San Antonio?
Well, as far as the flop goes, I thought it was the funniest thing I saw all night long. And I just recently watched the Dave Chappelle stand-up special on Netflix. And LeBron's flop was by far funnier than anything David Chappelle said. And that was the only thing that was funny about that game last night. It was absolutely terrible. It was embarrassing, and everybody in that locker room and in that organization should be, you know, pulling up a mirror and taking a look in it right now, because this is a situation where it's not exactly on one person. You know, the Cavaliers' recent struggles, it's on everybody. Obviously, everyone's going to turn and look to LeBron here locally. Teron Lewis gotten a complete free pass. Nobody even thinks to, you know, figure out how he has played a role in just the sad and just the uninspired play that the Cavaliers have had here recently. I think it falls on everyone, but the fans here in Cleveland are not happy today, to understate it greatly.
Well, Emmett, do you think LeBron is he strategic in how he comes out after games like last night and, you know, publicly comments? Like, do you think he has some strategy in how he tries to manage these things publicly?
Without a question. I mean, he has an understanding that everything he says will be, you know, broke down and looked at with a microscope, and it's been that way since he was a teenager. So he understands the power of his words. So whenever he has anything to say, it's definitely calculated. You know, LeBron isn't typically the first one to speak after a game. And you can a lot of times just see him sitting at his locker and thinking, what am I going to say? You know, how do I answer these questions? I know they're coming, because he knows what type of weight that his statements carry. So he's definitely, definitely always thinking about how what he says is going to be perceived. And I think he understands that people are hitting the panic button. And he goes, last night we heard him say, you know, I don't want to make excuses, but, and then he brought up they've been in six different time zones and they've been on the road and there's been injuries. So he basically made excuses. Now, when does a reason become an excuse? I'm not sure exactly which one it was, but yeah, he definitely thinks about everything he says before he utters a word.
With Emmett Golden from ESPN Cleveland.
Do you think they put all this by them and it's one of those teams that come playoff time, they'll just put it all in the past and they'll be right back to LeBron James, Cleveland Cavs, and it'll all be good and they'll march right to the finals again?
Well, throughout the season, whenever the Cavaliers have hit a bump or they haven't looked good, everyone around here in Cleveland has been, it's the regular season. We already know we're going to make it to the finals. It's not a big deal. Today, you know, I just got finished hosting my show, The Next Level, on ESPN Cleveland, and we had full phone lines of people saying they won't even make the Eastern Conference Finals this year. So that is, you know, crazy. Cleveland fans, you have to take that at a, you know, at a little dose. But, yeah, people right now here in Cleveland are freaking out. You know, I do believe that in the Eastern Conference, no one's afraid of the Cavaliers. I think in years past, especially the past 2 years, most teams felt like, hey, we can give it all we got, but it's going to be tough to beat the Cavs. I don't think teams feel like it's going to be tough to beat the Cavs. I think the Raptors and the Celtics and the Wizards all feel like, hey, this could be our year to make it to the finals, because who knows what's going on with the Cavaliers. It's not the roster. It's not the rest. It's something going on in between their ears, but they're right for the picking right now. Now, can they turn that around? They had the best player in the NBA and arguably the best guy who have ever played in the NBA. So yes, it definitely is possible that they hit some imaginary switch and go on and win the Eastern Conference and play in the finals. It's definitely possible, but there's a lot of doubt in Cleveland Cavaliers fans' minds today.
Well, and that's the X factor of all X factors. LeBron James, if he's healthy, you know he's going to be motivated. But it does feel different than the past couple of years in Cleveland, the previous four in Miami, where it was a foregone conclusion. You knew what was happening in the East. I think partially because the East has actually improved. Toronto's had some issues this year, but they're really starting to plug away here, and that's without Kyle Lowry. They've won six in a row. Defensively, they've really picked up their game since acquiring Ibaka and Tucker. Boston obviously has taken off. There's something like 28-10 or something like that over the past 38 games. And Washington, with that backcourt and some health, they've picked up their game. So it does feel like they're is more competition in the Eastern Conference. And as a result, I'm with you. I think a lot of teams, specifically those top three, are feeling pretty good about their chances. But hypothetically speaking, if it gets to a point where Cleveland does fizzle out and they don't make an NBA final, let alone win one, what kind of ripple effect will that have on the offseason and specifically how LeBron is going to react to ownership and management and what kind of pressure he'll put on them to change things in Cleveland?
Well, I do believe he'll put some pressure on everybody. He does every year. He did this year in January, coming off a championship, or putting pressure on Cavs general manager David Griffin, saying, you know, our roster is too top heavy. So that's par for the course for LeBron when it comes to putting pressure on the organization. Here locally, I think we'll finally hear the fans start to question Tyronn Lue. Nobody's done that at all. I feel like he's kind of his laid back, everything will be okay, everything will be all right. It's almost kind of lulled the team into this sense of, hey, we're good, we just have to get to the playoffs. And I think that's a dangerous game to play, and Ty Lue has been playing it this year. I said, last night, I noticed Greg Popovich, he was calling timeouts up 12, 13 points when one person missed a defensive assignment. And he pulled that guy right out in front of everybody and just ripped him to shreds in front of the team and in front of this national TV audience. Tyronn Lue's never done that. And I think last night somebody needed to get yelled at. He needed to get a technical foul or something. He needed to show that he cared and he was upset about it. And he just kind of had to, we guys are tired and we'll figure it all out. If the Cavaliers don't make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, I think the seat under Tyronn Lue will finally begin to heat up.
Great stuff as always. Thank you for doing this, Emmett. We'll do it again down the road.
Anytime, guys. Appreciate it.
Emmett Golden from ESPN Cleveland. So they're starting to panic in Cleveland. That's a good sign. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Like, very rarely do we catch up with beat guys or radio guys in other markets.
That was good. That was interesting to hear. They're freaking out down there. Nobody believes they'll even get to the conference finals.
And the Cavs.
If you're a Toronto Raptor fan, you should be thinking if they can just get it in order and get Lowry back, maybe they can do it.
And that's why we have that conversation, because all year what has hung over this team, even when they were on fire the first 40 games,
is just get to the conference finals and you're going to get your ass kicked.
Exactly. Yeah, but look at Cleveland. Well,
but maybe it ain't Cleveland.
But that was why when we talked about like them needing to go out and get other parts, that's why. Because like you just never know when you get to a situation where Cleveland is vulnerable and you get to a final.
And the Raptors have a very good history against Boston. Like, they play them really well. Boston does not match up well against the Raps. So you'd feel pretty confident going into a series against the Celtics. Washington has had their number at times over the past couple of years, but I think they can match up against them. Cleveland, LeBron, there's so much more pressure on LeBron this year, it feels, which is crazy to say because he's had more pressure on him than maybe any other player in NBA history.
Yeah.
Yet, he has to rise above and beyond what he's capable of doing on a regular basis. Because, like, look what they're doing. Like, Kyle Korver's injured right now, but Larry Sanders, they're bringing him out of retirement. Like, they feel desperate in Cleveland.
But we've seen it before from LeBron teams where they kind of, like, scuffle through the regular season, then playoff time, they just lock in. Like, that wouldn't surprise any of us.
They're still my favorite in the East.
Sure.
Even with all of this said, but there, it does feel as if it's different than it was 2 months ago. 2 months ago, I would have said 95% chance they're in the NBA final. Now,
do you remember
maybe 70%, 65%.
But do you remember how he played in the NBA final?
He's best three-game stretch I've ever seen a player play. But can he do that 16 times?
He doesn't need to, though, if they're playing well.
If he's got the support, if he's got the help. I don't know.
It's like this show. If we mail it in and we're out of it, you can't carry it all the time.
That's a great point. Sometimes you need Jonas to poke the bear. Mm-hmm.
Jonas has been the Hyman of this show today.
It's Zach Hyman.
I'm Nylander, you're Matthews, and you're Hyman, Jonas.
Wow.
You're a great grinder, though. He gets in there. You kill penalties. We don't.
Yeah, you're just fancy putting up the points.
Well,
he's the man. He's the show.
I'll bet you Zach Hyman scores tonight. For no reason.
He might.
I'm just going to call it. Hyman's going to score tonight.
I got to get out of here, boys. I'll see you in a bit.
All right. Take it easy.
I got to go to the can, too.
All right. Have fun. Bob McKenzie in studio around 6:20. We got a poll question based on what Buster Olney had to say to Naylor and Landsberg in the morning. We'll let you hear that clip. We'll break it down to kick off the 6 p.m. hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Betting with my heart tonight, Nashville over Boston. I'm surprised this game's not off the board because Zane McIntyre got called up, and no one knows who he might be replacing tonight. If it's Tuukka Rask, if Rask took the game day skate, said he was all good, and then went home and then pulled the shoot, they are going to crucify him.
Well, he's already getting heat for not playing well.
And for pulling out of the last game.
Yeah.
He's got a history late in the year.
So there you go. You got more faith in Curtis McElhinney than Zane McIntyre. You got that.
I think you're right, Jonas. I'll take Columbus at home, and Edmonton can clinch tonight. I think they will against LA. How about that? Clinching with like 7 games left.
Well, 11 years.
And the Kings are done.
Yeah.
Big changes, I think, coming in LA.
They got a lot of long-term contracts there.
They got some problems.
Yeah.
Definitely. Throw down 20 and you can score 88. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, and matchup stats on your phone. ProLine, get way into the game. All right, Leafs Panthers tonight. We'll tee that up. Buster Olney had something very flattering to say about Aaron Sanchez. Let you hear that clip. We'll debate it. We'll get into our poll question. And Bob McKenzie in studio at 6:20. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.